Good morning. I'm Tom, and I'd like to thank you for listening to the radio program, which is brought to you by Christians who meet at Main Street Church of Christ, located at 240 West Main Street in downtown Mount Sterling, Kentucky. On Sunday mornings, we meet at 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study that's about 45 minutes long. We break for 15 minutes, and then we continue to worship until noon. Sunday evenings, we meet at 6 p.m., and the first Sunday night of each month is a song night. You're welcome to come to either of those meetings, and we'd love to have you for a Bible study or a worship service or both. You can also come see us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. when we have a Bible study. And right now, our Sunday and Wednesday Bible studies go together. So Sunday mornings, we study something from the Old Testament. And Wednesday, we look at the application to Christians. And a lot of these are really good studies because there's some things that probably many people know about. You know, some of the more common biblical events. Some of them are kind of obscure. Some of them are things that people might not know as readily as others. But what's so great about this study is that we're going through the Bible and we're teaching it like Jesus did and like the apostles did. They'd go through the Old Testament, quote some things, talk about some prophecies, and then they would go apply it to people at that time during their ministries. So we're doing the same thing today. And looking at the applications of those stories, familiar or unfamiliar, is really an interesting and constructive study. You can also check us out online at www.mtsterlingchurch.com. You can email us at mtsterlingchurch@icloud.com, or you can just give me a phone call. My phone number is area code 859-432-0369. I honestly don't always answer numbers that I don't recognize, but if you leave me a message, I'm pretty good at getting back to them within a day. So just leave me a message, and I'll get back with you and help you with whatever you need. 859-432-0369. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about Ecclesiastes. If you're familiar with Ecclesiastes, then you know that it was written by Solomon, who was literally the wisest person on earth and who's ever lived in all history. His wisdom was so profound that he had this reputation for it, and people, royalty from far and near would come to ask him for advice and learn from him. And honestly, his wisdom is probably what is responsible for a lot of the technological growth we have had since his time. It's kind of tough to think about that, but really, Solomon's probably behind a lot of the mathematics and sciences that we are able to practice today to great benefit to us. He was an incredibly wise person, and he wrote some of the wisdom literature in Scripture, and my favorite one of his writings was the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is not a very long book. If you'd like to, you could probably read it all the way through today with no problem, you know, between meals even. It's not a very long book. Just a few chapters, but in this book is an exploration of life itself. Now, that's deep. Today, many artists, poets, philosophers, musicians explore life and the meaning of it, and different themes of life. A lot of the content that we see on television and the movies that we watch, they're all metaphors for life, its failures, its successes, and they're all, In some ways, many of them are attempts to answer what happens after life, after we die. Solomon existed at a historically unique crossroad between all of the wisdom to make good choices and all of the wealth to have the opportunity to be in positions to make good choices. Almost everyone else who's ever lived has either been very wise or very wealthy, but very few people are both. And because very few people are both, the very wealthy may be able to afford whatever opportunities that they could need to explore the deeper questions of life, but if they never delve into those deeper questions, then all of those opportunities go to waste. And the very wise may never become very wealthy. There is actually a great deal of wisdom and contentment. That's one of the strong themes of Ecclesiastes. You don't need wealth. And so the very wise oftentimes do not become wealthy because it's kind of unwise to seek wealth above all else. But because they do not become this magnificent level of wealthy that Solomon was, they may not have the opportunities to explore this question and have to do so only philosophically or with thought experiments. Solomon did plenty of thought experiments, but due to his great wealth and wisdom, he was able to do real life experiments as well. And chapter 2 is one of those that I'd like to look at. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and if not, I'll do the reading for you and you can just listen as you get ready for worship this morning. So verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 2 says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. pause there in verse 1. Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Solomon purposed to go out and see if getting all of the things he wanted to get would fulfill his life. The reason I find chapter 2 so compelling is because I truly believe that this is what most people today think will fulfill life. If we want more money, then we shoot for some sort of a promotion. And we work hard to get that promotion. Sometimes we'll even do bad things to get it. We'll walk over other people. We'll tear other people down. You know, we will do whatever we can and everything we can for that promotion. And when we get that promotion, we celebrate. You know, we have fun with our friends. We might even have a party to celebrate. We might go out to dinner with our family. We spend time with them and further celebrate. And once all the celebration's over, it turns out that promotion is still just a job. You know? Just a job. Just like every other job that we've ever had. It might pay more. Might come with a quarter office. It might have benefits that other jobs have not had. But in the end, it is still just a job. I know a great deal of people who really, really enjoy anything that has to do with a car. I know a man who started saving for his dream car when he was 11 years old. He bought it when he was 40. And I went to visit him maybe 10-ish years later. And I asked him about that car. And he said, oh, I sold that thing years ago. It didn't fulfill his life, you know. I know a great many people, as I'm sure you do too, who are really, really into athletics. It's like teams, sports events, and all things athletic. I'm not one of those people. It causes me a great deal of confusion when I walk into a sports-related conversation. But I know a lot of people who are. Have you ever seen a sports fanatic when their team loses? I mean, even if they got tickets to a rare once-in-a-lifetime game, if they go to that game and their team loses, it's really bad. There's no life fulfillment there. Solomon had all the money to buy all the cars he wanted to buy. He had the best job you could possibly have. He was the king of the most powerful nation at the time. He had all the money to buy all the tickets to all the sports games. But he said in verse 2, of laughter it is mad, and of pleasure what use is it? Of laughter it is mad, and of pleasure what use is it? Laughter being pointless is odd. In a social situation, I'm assuming that you, like most people, would rather be laughing than crying. Ideally, we would rather have an entertaining conversation than a boring one. We'd rather watch a good movie or a comedy than one that makes us depressed or angry. You know? So how could he come to a point where he looked at laughter, this kind of joy, and said, it's pointless, it's madness, it's crazy, it's useless. A pleasure is nothing. What use is it? What use is pleasure? I mean, if anyone else really asked that question, what good does it do to be pleased? I think most people would look at it like they were insane. Would you rather be displeased? Would you rather be unhappy? How could Solomon say, what use is pleasure? Solomon could say that because with all of his vast wisdom and all of his vast wealth, he'd afforded all of the jokes and all of the joys that a person could buy and still was not fulfilled. So in verse 3, I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under the heaven during the few days of their life. In verse 3, Solomon ends with the problem. Comparatively, there are only a few days of life for the children of man under heaven. And he hits a topic that many people still today turn to in order to try to find a meaning in those few days. He said, I searched my heart how to cheer my body with wine. Now, that looks like a very simple phrase. You might read that phrase and think, okay, Solomon started drinking wine. But wine was, especially in the Old Testament, often used as a representative for a group of, liquid intoxicants. So you might see the phrase as you progress in the New Testament, wine and strong drink. You know, those were kind of used just to represent alcoholic beverages in all their varieties, and usually strong drink was the stronger ones. Furthermore, you've got the issue that wine at that time was usually fresher than today, and not as alcoholic as today's wine. So when Solomon says that he was seeking with his heart how to cheer his body with wine, he wasn't just saying, hey, I went out and I drank, wine. He was saying, I explored using substances to make myself happy. You know, it's very possible that Solomon explored the finest drugs that a person could afford at his time in Jerusalem. It's odd to think about drugs at that time, but we know that they were in use. If you look back through history, every great nation at some point has struggled with, you know, intoxicants and substance abuses. Especially in ancient nations, they used them to try to communicate with gods. And we also know of Solomon that he did, in fact, marry many women who served foreign gods, and it's undoubted that many of those women's worship of those gods involved in, you know, taking some kind of a drug and getting high and getting some sort of a message. Many of those gods had that kind of thing in their worship rituals. So Solomon had all of this at his disposal. You know, one thing that Solomon gets at here in verse 3 that we sometimes still don't understand, I think, is that when someone today gets addicted to drugs, you might hear someone say of them, and all they need is self-control. Don't they have the self-control just to say no to drugs? That was actually the slogan when I was in school. You say no to drugs. And the thing is, that slogan works if that's the first thing you ever say to, you know, drug use. No, I'm not going to do that. Then you'll never really get addicted. I think that was the point of that slogan. But it kind of changed over time to, okay, now I'm tempted to imbibe in this drug and I need to say no. And the problem with being addicted to something is that the impulse to do it becomes disproportionately greater than the impulse not to. And the reason people turn to drugs so often is because they're trying to solve some problem in their life. They're trying to find some fulfillment in their life, some meaning. Maybe there's domestic abuse at home. And they fall back on this addiction to try to escape. Maybe they're unhappy with themselves, and they like the way that this addiction makes them feel. And Solomon surely had the ability to access any of the drugs at the time that would have those kinds of effects on a person. And he said, wisdom still guiding him, he explored those drugs, at least wine, which would be probably why he didn't get addicted, because he was doing it wisely. But he made the decision, maybe this substance will make me happy. And it didn't solve the problem. Because no matter how high or drunk Solomon could get, he couldn't escape the fact that one day he was going to die, verse 3. What is good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life? No matter what he looked for, death was still there. So the book of Ecclesiastes ends with Solomon coming to the decision that the only thing that makes life worthwhile is fearing God and keeping His commandments. I think it would be worthwhile for us, too, to remember that as we get ready to worship this morning, or maybe as we're deciding not to worship this morning, that whatever else is on your plate, whatever else you're considering doing, it will not fulfill you like worshiping God and following Him. Will you pray with me? Most Holy God, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Help us to make good, wise decisions to glorify and please you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.